Thank you for where you brought us from, how you kept us, our foreparents, all that they endured. Saving us. Help us, Lord. And we will be the people who created us to be Jesus Christ our Lord. Teach us how to worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To God be glory. Amen. Amen. God, and I thank you. I know God is sovereign. And I think if I would have been living in a different era, I probably wouldn't have lived to see 2 years, because I would have been an angry black man. Black men would still be what I am, so I don't do. But thanks be to God, helps us get moving. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me. We'll spend a few minutes here talking about really across the month. Talking about freedom in Christ. And today, our main subject is freedom from sin. And I'll just scratch the surface. Today we'll pick up some next week. So turn with me to the book of Romans, even though we will look at several verses and we're not staying in Romans, but just to give some backdrop, some body to a few things that we'll say today. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Romans 7, beginning at verse 21. Got it?
Amen.
And the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he's writing really about himself. He writes, I find then the principle that evil is present in me. The one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then he says in verse 25, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. C.S. Lewis was a professor, I believe, at Oxford. And he wrote this, he said, for a long time, I used to think this a silly, straw-splitting distinction. How would you hate what a man did and not hate the man? But years later, it occurred to me that there was one man to whom I had been doing this all my life, namely myself. In fact, the very reason why I hated the things was that I loved the man. Just because I loved myself, I was sorry to find that I was the sort of man who did those things. Consequently, Christianity does not want us to reduce by one atom the hatred we feel for cruelty and treachery. But it does want us to hate them in the same way in which we hate things in ourselves. Being sorry that the man should have done such things, and hoping, if it is in any way possible, that somehow, sometime, somewhere, he can be cured and made human again. C.S. Lewis was looking in. He was talking about himself. And I thought about African Americans, that we can become and may still be very angry and hateful towards others when we reflect on the history of enslavement, the enslavement of our foreparents, and when we think about the injustices directed towards us simply because we are not the right color and thought to be inferior. That can make you angry, can't it? That can make you hateful, resentful, bitter. But I wonder this morning, not so much about that, as we think about freedom in Christ, freedom from sin. I wonder this, I wonder if we have a holy hatred for ourselves. A hatred that rises up when we see the sin. A hatred that despises the sinful attitudes and actions that we are enslaved to and that rise up out of the sin that the Bible says is within us. I wonder if we have a holy hatred for ourselves. We need to be set free from sin. There are other things that we know. We talk about African Americans particularly. We know that we talk about being free. But we need to be set free from sin. We can be cured of our love for sin. We can live the new life that Jesus purchased for us when we are mastered by Jesus instead of being mastered by sin. Our objective, my objective in life, and I hope you pick it up, that our objective is to be mastered by Jesus instead of being a slave to sin. You may be sitting here today and you may be thinking, well, I'm not a slave to sin. Unless we have come to that realization, I don't think we won't get better. We won't be set free. Unless you know what your problem is, then you'll just be treating the symptom. And we'll just be treating symptoms in our lives instead of treating the real issue. The real issue is sin. We need to be set free from our sinful selves. It's point, main point, everyone. We need to be set free from our sinful selves. I know sin is not a popular topic to talk about. We're talking about it today for a little bit. We need to be set free from our sinful selves. Sin, as defined in the Bible, sin is the most frequent biblical word for sin, meant originally to miss the mark. You fail in duty. You just don't measure up. We miss the mark of perfection Did you know that's God's expectation? Perfection. Anybody in here perfect? No, you missed the mark. God has set limits to our freedom. And we have crossed the line. That's sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It is mutiny against the Holy One who created us for himself. We looked at this Colossians 1. He created all things were created by him and for him. And if that's true, then he had the right to set the boundaries. To say, here's the line that I've drawn in the sand. And they're not anyone crossing. But yet, you know, it's interesting that, isn't it? That God doesn't force us to live within those boundaries, does he? He doesn't. He doesn't. Sin is rebellion against God. It's mutiny against the Holy One who created us for himself. It is saying, God, I don't want the life you've given me. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to think my own thoughts. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to treat people the way I want to treat people, God. Thank you very much. I don't care what you say. That's what sin is. In short, Augustine, he's one of the church fathers, and most people don't know, but Augustine, who was born and lived on the continent of Africa, he was an African. Augustine, Cyprian, they were born and lived on the continent of Africa. And if you read it, you don't get that coming through, but they were. So he was an African. He said this. He said, sin comes when we take a perfectly natural desire or longing or ambition and try desperately to fulfill it without God. Our desires that God has put, we have those desires. We have natural desires that God has given us. We have longings. We have ambition. But we go after them without God. And they become distorted. And he goes on to say, not only is it sin, it is a perverse distortion of the image of God. Of the image of the Creator in us. All these good things and all our security are rightly found only and completely in Him. Only when we're connected to God, only when we see life through God's lenses, and only when we live out of Christ in us and who He is in us, is it right and do we find fulfillment and completeness of life. Sin has to do with us not living within the boundaries that God has established. Sin has to do with us not living within the boundaries that God has established. You know the story of Adam and Eve. You've read Genesis. Adam and Eve had total freedom in that garden. Except to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told them, you're free. You're free. You got all this. All this is yours. But they crossed the boundary. They missed the mark. They did what they wanted to do. They usurped the authority of God over them. And they said, God, we don't want to. They did what they wanted to do instead of what God had told them to do. And we do the same thing. Note that God didn't set that boundary because he just didn't want them to enjoy that one particular fruit. And we don't know whether it was an apple. We don't know what it was. He didn't just want them not to enjoy that fruit. God knew that eating the fruit would be harmful to them and they would die. God had a purpose for that. Not to harm them, not to hurt them, but to protect them. But they crossed the boundary. And the Bible tells us that sin entered the world through one man. But we all have the same nature as our forefather Adam. People say, well, if Adam wouldn't have done what he did, then we wouldn't be here. Well, if he would have been there, or I would have been there, we would have done the same thing. And what the Bible says, we are here where we are, not just because of Adam, but because of us. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. All sinned. The Bible also tells us that we are natural born sinners. Somebody don't believe that. We are natural born sinners. David recognized that. And you know, sometimes I think it takes time for us to recognize and come to grips with and accept what God has already said in his word. David said in Psalm 51:5, he said, surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Didn't happen to me when I got older. I came out sinful. I'm a natural born son. You know, I've said it before. I think about my cute little granddaughters and my handsome grandsons. But I say, the children are cute little bundles of sin. Once again, they are. That's the reality. You don't teach kids wrong. Some way, somehow, they know how to lie and try to get around it and manipulate. And you can see them in their relationship with you and others, and there's the conflict. Where did they learn that from? They are cute little bundles of sin. And so are we. And so are we. We come into this world with a sin nature. Our natural bent is toward sin. It's toward sin. See, the problem of sin is not out there. If we see it out there, that it's somebody else, it's what somebody may be doing. You remember, you old enough to have watched Flip Wilson? What was his famous line?
The devil made me do it.
See? The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do nothing that you don't want to do. We do it because we want to do it. Sinners. The problem is not out there, my brothers and sisters, and those who may not be brothers and sisters yet. The problem is not out there. It is within us. Our hearts and minds, apart from Christ, are just not right. The problem with what's happening in the world today is the hearts and minds of people aren't right. See, I think we treat symptoms when we don't get to the root of what's wrong in the world. My grandmama used to say, my mama's mama, she used to say the problem ain't the world, but it's with the world. She'd say the problem is with the people in it. It's with us. Jeremiah, the Bible says this, Jeremiah 17, 9. Don't take my word for it. Let's listen to the scripture. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand it? Who can understand it? You ever wonder why, and I think I've said this before, right? Why do you, you know, we do something in life, we cross some boundary that we never thought we'd cross, and we say, man, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Well, you don't have to wonder anymore. We do it because we're natural born sinners. Jesus had something to say about our hearts. Turn with me to Mark 7. You can mark that and chew on it later, but we'll read directly from it. Matthew, Mark. Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 20, and the context of Jesus was there, and the Pharisees were all up in arms because people were eating and whatnot without washing their hands and things of this sort. Okay? And they were saying, well, they're defiled, they're not pure. And Jesus said, look, you need to understand, it's not what you put in you that makes you impure, it's what comes out of that which is already in there. And he said this in verse 20. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. What's the source of evil thoughts? Heart of man. It's inside of me and inside of you. Evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit and sensuality and envy and slander and pride and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Jesus says, that's what's in your heart. The source is not out there. The problem is in here. It's in my heart. It's part of who I am. It's my nature. I'm a natural born sinner. We don't have to wonder why people, ourselves included, do bad things. Do. Yeah. You know, we should stop that. Well, why do people do bad things? Why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? Why is all this killing going on? Why is all this, these injustices taking place? Why is all this stuff happening in the government? Why? Because of the heart. Because of our sin nature. We don't have to wonder why they do bad things. We don't have to wonder why people say bad things. We don't have to wonder why we think bad thoughts. We don't have to wonder why we have emotional wrestling matches in our relationships. Because I want my way. You want your way. We're selfish and self-centered by nature. You don't have to wonder why we treat people badly.
Man.
We're sinners in need of a Savior. You don't have to wonder why we have bad attitudes. You wonder, why is that person's attitude so bad?
Speak.
Wonder no more. Sin nature. We all have a sin nature.
Yes, we do.
We may be reluctant to admit it and embrace it and accept it, but regardless, you still got it. I still have it. We have a propensity to sin. We can't get around it. I'm reminded of Boldness. The Bible talking about him when he had to make that decision about which side he was going to be on. Was he going to be here with all the pleasures of Egypt, or was he going to follow the God that he knew? And it says that he gave up the passing pleasure of sin. Some of us don't want to give up the passing pleasure of sin. We're drawn to that. We have that propensity to sin. And apart from Christ, we are slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. The greatest slavery is our slavery to sin. All of mankind is held in bondage to sin unless we are set free by Jesus. And there's our great hope, and there's our great joy, is that we can be set free by Jesus. Man is born into slavery to sin. No one is exempt. Let's get that in our head. No one is exempt. And I know I'm just scratching the surface here. No one is exempt. Romans 3:9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? Are the Jews better than the Gentiles? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks for God." You hear people saying, "Well, I was seeking after God." No, first God was seeking after you. You don't seek after God apart from God seeking after you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all," again, all inclusive, "all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You don't measure up to the perfection of God. All of us fall short. We miss the mark. We cross the line. We don't measure up. We're slaves of sin. And that's our main life lesson for today, is that sin is our master. Sin is our master if we are not mastered by Jesus. And that's a great question today. Are we mastered by Jesus, or are we mastered by sin? And that's what we'll look at in Romans 6 next week, I believe. Sin is our master if we are not mastered by Jesus. I was reminded, thinking about this, in Genesis 4:6, with Cain and Abel, and you know the story there too. But it was interesting in my mind. It kind of put some context to this whole idea of just being mastered by sin. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Cain, why was Cain angry? Why was he downcast? Well, the Lord accepted Abel's offering. You remember the story. And he rejected Cain's. Abel brought God the very best. He said, "God, you're God. You're worthy of my worship, Lord. I'm not giving you second best, God. I'm giving you my very best. I'm giving you the first fruits, Lord God. I bow down and worship you." Cain brought the Lord a little something something. And the Lord said, "No, that's not acceptable. I'm not pleased with that." That's the way it is. Can I say that on the side? That's the way it is with us too. God is not pleased with our second best. He's not pleased with our mediocre worship of him. He's not pleased with that. Are we bringing him our best? It's sinful. Can I say this? It is sinful for us not to give God the best of our lives. The best worship that we can give him. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of our worship. But God said to Cain, he said, "Why, Cain, let me talk to you, Cain. Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right," and I put in parentheses here, if you do not do what is right, because it's important that we think about this, if you do not do what it is right by me, meaning God, Cain did not do right by God. It wasn't that he just didn't bring the best offering. He didn't bring the best offering to God. It was about his relationship with God. And that's what God was saying. Cain, you didn't do right by me. You didn't think about who I am, Cain. And because of that, Cain, he said that sin is crouching at your door. It's right there, waiting to get in. It is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. But you must rule over it. It's like sin has this life of its own. Like it's ready to creep up on you and put you in a chokehold. That's what all of us. Man, we need to understand that. And I needed to say this, I'll say it later in Romans 6, but it doesn't go away when you give your life to Christ. Sin is still crouching at our doors. It still desires to have us. Still wants us. But God told Cain, he said, "But you must rule over it." God never would have told him if he couldn't do that. Did Cain listen? No, Cain didn't listen. Now Cain said to his brother, Abel, "Hey, Abel, let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?"
Where's your brother?
Cain said, "Why are you asking me? I don't know. I think that's the way he said it." The text says, he said, "I don't know. I don't know. You've asked some of your kids that. Some of you asked your kids that sometime, right? They do something wrong. And what did they respond? I don't know. Just as innocent." Where does that come from? Sin nature. Sin nature. Not too much has changed, has it? "I don't know." He replied, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He got smart with God. Just like kids do. Just like we do. He got smart with God. "Am I my brother's keeper, God?" See, the sin within us rules over us when we don't do right by God. The sin within us rules over us when we don't do right by God. Sin is always first and foremost about our relationship with God. And us missing the mark that God has set. Us crossing the boundaries that he has set for our good. It's always about that. Cain's problem was not the problem that he had with Abel, but the problem that he had with God. He didn't like the fact that God rejected his measly offering. You know? All he had to do was to do right by God by bringing the best he had to offer, but instead, he turned his anger toward God, toward his brother. Cain never admitted that, "Lord, it's about you in me. We need to admit that, that it's about us and God. Stop blaming other folk. Stop looking at other people. Stop saying the devil made me do it. The devil can't do nothing that you don't give him permission to do. By our attitudes and actions. It's us. Comes back to us. Comes back to us. Us against God. David came to that understanding when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he said, God, against you only have I sinned. Now, he had done wrong by Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, because he had killed. He had done wrong by Bathsheba. Yeah, those were wrong, but David understood his whole nature of sin, that it was about him ultimately. About him and God. And our sin is ultimately toward God. We may do others wrong, but we sinned against God. We may lie and steal and cheat, but it's ultimately against God. We may do harm in our outer world, but it's only because we've sinned against God. In our inner world. Sin first has to do with our relationship with God, not with others. Not with others. I do wrong all by myself. I don't need no help from nobody else. If I do wrong, if I think wrong, if I say wrong, if I treat people wrong, something is wrong with my relationship with God.
Yeah. That's right.
If I treat my wife wrongly, talk badly to her, don't take care of her like I should, it ain't her. I may say, well, she ain't treating me right, so I'm going to treat her right. Something wrong in my thinking, in my heart. With God, because God has set the boundaries for that. He said, that's your queen. You're supposed to take care of her, mates. About you and me first. We need to get that. We put us first instead of God. Someone said this, the essence of sin is that man substitutes himself for God. Started in the garden. It's come up all the way up to us. The essence of sin is that man substitutes himself for God. But the essence of salvation is that God substitutes himself for man. Isn't that great? God substitutes himself for us through Jesus Christ. And I want to finish on that. That, listen. The infinite love of God is demonstrated in light of the magnitude of our sin. In spite of the sinners that we are, in spite of the fact that we missed the mark, we crossed the boundary, we say, God, I don't want what you want for my life. In spite of the fact that God has pronounced man guilty of sin, God has said, yes, you rebelled against me. God has said, yes, you trespass my holy law, you haven't kept it. And in spite of all of that, he has executed judgment against sin. Not on me, but on Christ. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You noted that he didn't say when we got it all together, when we became perfect, when we became good enough to be accepted by God. No, we can't be good enough. You can never be good enough to be accepted by God. If you're sitting here today and you think that you can get right with God by being good enough, then you're a long way off. You're a long way away. Long ways away. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Well, what are the implications for our lives? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin has a consequence. The consequence is death. Physical death, yes, but spiritual death, more important. Spiritual death, relational death, death that occurs in our minds and our emotions, socially. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our key phrase there is in Christ. Those who are in Christ are those who have received his righteousness through his death, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and therefore have been declared to be righteous. We ain't righteous, but we've been declared righteous. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. It's been given to us, not because we deserved it, but because God is God of love. Therefore are declared to be righteous through belief in his redemptive work on the cross. Because of their need for a Savior. Those are the ones who are in Christ. And let me say this and I'll finish up. Being in Christ is not the same necessarily as being a member of a particular church. I've said this before. You're not in Christ, you're stuck with sitting here today. You can come to the church house and not be in Christ. Being in Christ is not the same as being nice. A whole lot of nice people are going to be in hell because they never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not about doing good things. The Bible says all your righteousness is a filthy rag. It ain't good enough. Our goodness is not good enough, or even serving in some leadership role in the church, isn't that something? Just because you do something in the church don't mean that you're in Christ. Those who are in Christ are in Christ because they've accepted two realities, two facts. One, those in Christ have concluded that nothing good lies in me. I was thinking, you know, when I was younger, I know I didn't come to this conclusion like I see it now. I think we grow into understanding this. But we have to get to that point where we realize this, because it affirms our salvation. That nothing good lies in me. That's in my sinful nature. Romans 7:18. Paul said it like that. He said, nothing good lies in me. I looked, but nothing in that sinful nature. That is, there is nothing in me apart from Jesus that warrants God accepting me. Warrants God accepting me and forgiving me. It is not my goodness that makes me right with God. Those who are in Christ have come to that conclusion. Nothing good lies in me. Also, those in Christ have concluded that Jesus paid the penalty for me. I accept the fact that Jesus paid the penalty for me. He's the sin offering. He took on my sin. When he died on the cross, he was God the Son. And on that cross, he hung there and took the punishment from the Father for me on the cross. that great exchange took place. We hung there, if you will, with Christ. He was a great substitution. And if you've accepted that, you're in Christ. And then he rose from the dead to give me new life. To give me new life. I wonder if you're in Christ. I wonder if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can come to these two people and you can be in Christ. Won't you bow down?